Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we welcome back the wonderful character actress Dee Baldus. Welcome, Dee.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome back
to the show. I'm fine.
Thank
How are you?
You? Thanks. I'm peachy fluffy. Thanks for having me on the show.
Like your dogs.
That's right. That's right.
Last time you were on the show was part of a panel for Sherry's Playhouse. So
and
why
thank
don't
you so much for having me on the show for that.
Oh, it was so much fun, and doing the Playhouse was so much fun. And
yeah.
Thank you for doing such a wonderful part with my Alexandra and doing such a good job.
She was wonderful. The only thing, I still owe you an apology for having the mute on for my first line, scaring everybody.
Yes, it worked out.
Again, I promise.
It worked out. Everything was cool. It was really great. I mean, she's like, she was such a special character, and you did
right.
It so well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she was really fun.
In fact, we're going to be doing Sherry's Playhouse again this season.
Oh, good. Oh, that's
wonderful. Yeah, we already have two plays. We're looking for two more, and hope you're going to be part of it, Dee.
Well, you know I'm available for you.
Thank you. I so appreciate
that.
Of course. For those people who hadn't, heard you on that first show, why don't you tell them a bit about yourself and your background?
Oh, well, I'm an actor who came to it a little bit later in life. I decided in my 40s that I was tired of sales and didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and then I decided maybe I won't grow up, so I became an actor. And that's the first time I felt my heart sing. So was when the first time I acted. Yeah. It was wild. That was it's quite a feeling to realize, wow, this is what I'm meant to do.
Yep. Yeah, me too. I came in late to all my stuff, too. It's so strange how life leads you in different directions than you expect it to go.
Yes, it definitely is. Mine was on a way different trajectory, but I kind of like the way it's going now.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's so weird how it's crissy-crossy. So something that's so, I don't know, out of the way, like a TV show you might see or something, will send you on that path. It's just really interesting.
Right.
So acting is your passion in life.
Absolutely. Well, that and dogs. You know me.
Yeah.
Getting started on
your
either
puppies.
One. Dogs are, yes. I do a lot of rescue. I do a lot of work on rehoming. And I have an organization I started called Paws for Troops. And our goal originally was to work with veterans with traumatic brain injury and PTSD to get them working with animals in shelters and rescue groups so they get the healing effects of working with animals without having to adopt, because many need that but are not ready for the responsibility. And that would still be wonderful and it would be a lovely goal. It's kind of morphed itself into something a little different, where I've become more of a conduit for veterans who are looking for help, since the organization didn't take off quite as fast as I wanted and I didn't have the cash to put into it like I needed. So I've become more of a conduit and become a place where they can come to me with questions about how they can connect with somebody, where can they go, what can they do, what are the laws. I'm about raising awareness for service animals and what that means. Many people think it's only CNI dogs and they have to have vests, and that's not true. There's a variety of ways that animals and dogs in particular become a tremendous assistance for veterans and individuals with difficulties.
Yeah, I remember when I was in the hospital, and it wasn't just dogs. They actually brought my dad, when he was in the hospital, a parrot.
Right, those are called therapy animals.
Yeah.
So those are specifically vetted and trained to be able to go into those situations, so they know how to handle, you know, how to be around wheelchairs and how to be, you know, so they don't panic. Like, I could never take Lillian to that kind of situation because she was a street dog and she gets spooked very easily by different things, and wheelchairs just freak her out. So you have to learn what your animal can handle, but the ones that do it are amazing, amazing.
Yeah, I have a friend who raises trains and raises puppies for service, and he
uh-huh.
seems to fall in love with every dog, but he
right.
lets them go.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's just, I'm like, you're letting her go or letting him go, and he goes, I know.
Right, but it helps them. It actually helps them when they can bond with who they're at with that young. It'll help them bond again later. If they don't bond right away with the person training them, then they'll have a harder time bonding when they get to the person they're supposed to assist. So he's actually doing a service for them too.
I remember when you were planning on starting Dee and I have been friends for quite some time. It went in a different trajectory than you originally intended.
Uh-huh.
But it's still working, right?
I haven't given up. It's just me right now. I have a few veterans across the U.S. that I've been able to assist to help find ways to get service animals to get one trained. If nothing else, become a support person for them in their search. And I do a tremendous amount of social media with service animals and veterans, and, you know, getting the word out that it's not that oftentimes it's the hidden wounds that they need the service animals for more than you could, you know, just because they're not limping doesn't mean they don't need somebody, need something. So that's kind of my service right now until I can financially get behind this a little bit more. This is what I can do. You know, I'm not giving up. So I'm stubborn to the core, as you may remember.
Yes, I know that. Where would the audience go to either find out about it or to help?
PawsForTroops.com, PawsForTroops.com.
Okay. Everybody go help Dee because it's a very, very worthy cause.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to talk a little bit about acting now. Now, when you're a character actress, so how do you start to build a character as a character actress? Is it from the outside, the clothes in, or is it the inside out?
Well, first of all, you have to be a character, and I am. So I just check in with the several multiple personalities that live inside and say, who wants to come play today? It's all inside. The outsides, when I get the audition, auditioning and actually doing the scene are completely different. Auditioning is a completely different muscle. And then the clothes help. But you still have to know what you want the character to portray. So I start off with digesting the verbiage, what it is they're supposed to say, reading as much on the page and as much as available about the role and the show. I research the show. I go online and watch an episode, or I'll watch it on TV, or if it's a movie, I go research what this director or what this writer has done before, producer, try to see what they like. Do they like something that's sharp and edgy? Do they want somebody that looks a little clueless in the rain? Do they, you know, what is it that they like? And then I take that and just shape it. And it's, for instance, the role Rake that I just did, the Greg Kinnear show that unfortunately was canceled, I played a nurse. And when I looked at it, it was like, okay, she's probably got a secret crush on the doctor because of the way it was written. It wasn't that she was the sharp-tongued nurse. It was the, oh, boy, you're going to be in trouble, and I really don't want you to be in trouble, and I don't know how to tell you this, and I've got to tell you because the cops are standing right behind me. It was that kind of feel. And so that was kind of what I portrayed, is building, you've heard the term backstory. It's, you've kind of got to figure out where this person's come from. So that's what I've done. And then a movie that's coming out with AFI, which is probably one of the top schools for directors, producers, and young filmmakers. I got to do a role last year, and I played a seedy hooker motel manager. And so, yeah, I mean, you want trailer trash, baby, call me. I'm all about the trailer trash. So she, on the other hand, somebody with a good heart, but been there, done that, don't mess with her. And that was really fun. It was a really fun group to work with. It was a really fun script. And a great crew. So it was fun to sink my teeth into a role that I could get. That one was probably the closest to me that I've ever played.
Wow.
Where it was really, I get where you're coming from. I got a good heart, but don't mess with me because I can take you out. I really can't, but I like to think I can.
American Film Institute, AFI is American Film Institute, and it's a very interesting organization because I remember when I was acting that it was both a preservation and a film school, and I think they're still doing both. And I think it's really cool the amount of producers, directors, writers that come from that. They do a heck of a good job.
They really do, and they really work them. I mean, they make sure that they understand the process all the way through, and they own it.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for them, there would be a lot of films lost.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Because they restore silent movies, and I think they had a Buster Keaton movie that was pretty much almost destroyed that they brought back to life.
Nice.
They are quite an institution. So
I'm
proud to be part of it, kid.
I am, and it's in a beautiful location. It's in right in the heart of Hollywood. It's just
mm-hmm.
really up on the hill. It's beautiful, beautiful up there.
Have you ever gone to a screening
up
there?
No, I have not. But we
oh, they're
of course,
good.
We were
Go
filming out
time.
In Commerce. I will. I will. We filmed out in Commerce, which is, where everybody wants to go.
Yeah. Commerce is not the best part of Los Angeles.
Right. If you really want to find a hooker hotel, start at Commerce and work your way out.
Yeah.
And believe me, we were in a hooker hotel. If you could see pictures of the room, one of the rooms they tried to put me in for my stage room, I was like, I'm sorry, but I am not going to be in here. It
Ew.
Is just gross. Yeah, it was smoke filled. It was somebody had kicked the crap out of doors. It was. I just said, I'm not a diva under any stretch of the imagination, but I cannot be in this room. It's gross.
They didn't have trailers.
No. Well, they were in a hotel. They were in a motel. So,
yeah,
it worked out. It was a fun crew.
I'm sorry to hear about Rake. But it brings up a very important question as an actress. You do your job, you work your tushy off, and then either the TV show gets canceled or you get on the cutting room floor. How do you feel when something like that happens? I know you feel terrible, but a little bit more than that.
Well, I think that it's the nature of the beast. It's like when you go into an audition and it's not everybody's cup of tea. I can go into an audition and nail the audition and walk away going, absolutely, that role is mine. And then not get it and wonder why, and then later watch the show and go, oh, that's because they chose somebody who was, you know, 5'4", and I'm 5'8". They needed somebody who was much shorter because of the, and I can't take that personally. There's nothing I can do to change my height, the same as a show. There's nothing that you can do to change people's minds. I mean, there's been some shows, none come to mind, of course, immediately, but that have managed to rally the networks to get them, you know, get behind them long enough so that they could get the themselves going. Yes,
yeah.
Get the audience. And some big shows, which of course I'm drawing a blank. But
Kill Street Blues, MASH.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There was a bunch of them. Cheers.
Yes.
And then there's
it
other shows that do really well, and then they play Let's Move the Show, so the audience can't find them.
Right. So, I mean, and that is, none of that is personal, so I can't take it personally. If I take it personally, I'll never get out of bed in the morning. So it becomes a self-preservation kind of thing. It's just like when I go into an audition, my job at that moment is, that's part of my job, is to show up for the audition.
Right.
And the rest of it's not in my hands. You know, if they invite me to the party so that I get to film, even better, then that's the next step of my job. But that's like getting the promotion. The hardest part for me has always been growing up in the Midwest. I've worked since I was very, very young, and it's about not having the 9-to-5. That's been the hardest thing for me, is that to call myself a working actor and not be on set every day is very difficult in my mind. It doesn't compute easily, and yet I'm a working actor.
Yeah.
As most of my friends point out, and I work, you know, I work a lot, and I'm very blessed. It's just my head goes, but we need to work more.
Well, you're what they call a journeyman actor. You're a person who works a lot, but you have these stretches of quiet time, I guess.
Yeah.
I
don't right.
Know what to call it, a hiatus.
Yeah.
Journeyman actors are the nut and bolts of the industry. If it wasn't for people that do that, there wouldn't be movies, TV shows, theater, all that stuff.
Right. Yes, that's
a good
you're
very
way to
important.
I'm a legend in my own mind. Yeah, so it's a wonderful career, and it's frustrating, and it's like anybody's career. You know, there's highs and lows, no matter what you do. But if your heart's in it, it makes it worth showing up.
It's all about passion.
Yep. It's always all about passion, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what changed me to being a writer. I realized that's really where my passion. I love acting, but I realized that my passion is in writing.
Right.
You don't know always what your path is going to be.
Right. Yeah, and I have started a script for Pause for Troops, kind of rolling all of my loves into one thing. Not the world's best writer, but I figure I can knock out the vision I have in my head and then get with somebody else who is a writer.
Mm-hmm.
To help them, you know, help me buff the edges, I guess would be the better way to put it. You know, I recognize my strengths and I recognize my weaknesses more now as I get older. I'm a good idea person. I'm not, you know, if I was to write a book, you'd miss all the floral scents and descriptions and the mountains. You know, I'd be just all about what's this, the conversation. I don't like the extraneous stuff. I would write the way I read. I'd scoot right over the rest of that stuff.
Yeah, well, it depends on the book. I mean, there's some books I've read that they went a little too far on the floral description. One
right,
that comes to
right.
mind is the classic, Gone with the Wind. If you read the first chapter, you're like, okay, I understand. Let's get to Tara and what's inside it. You know?
Right. Very good example.
I mean, it's a classic. I mean, it's a
right.
award-winning book, but just for me, that the descriptive part, I mean, I almost skipped half the first chapter to get to Scarlett in her first scene because it was getting to me, you know?
Right, right, right. Me, I just watched the movie.
Well, I'm weird. I get really passionate about something, like if I like a movie or a TV show, I have to read everything about it. I get very passionate. I've always been that way, even when I was a kid. It's just one of my quirks. one of my many. you've done all kinds of work. Do you have a favorite TV, film, theater, animation, voiceover?
TV is my favorite. Film would be next, and voiceover would be after that. You know, I did a CD for the book Josh and Friends, I'll Be Okay, and it's for a stuffed puppy that, and book that go to children who are ill. And
oh.
It was really fun. I know, it's wonderful. It helps young children who are in the hospital, and it's Josh and Friends, and he comes with his own little dog house, and now he's coming with his own, the book is read by me, and so the parents don't have to sit and read it to him all the time, and it becomes something that they can hang on to while they're in the hospital, and we get a lot of letters. I work a lot with Dr. Randy Lang, who wrote the book. And we get a lot of letters from parents who it's made a huge difference in their children's lives. And that kind of thing,
wonderful.
When I know I'm really impacting a child's life, really I can get passionate about it. Voiceover is fun, but I like the energy of being around other people. And the reason why I like TV the best is because it goes fast. You know, energy is... It's fast, fast, fast. Let's get it going. And that's kind of how my head's always, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are we going to go? We got to go here. We got to go there. We got to go. Come on, let's move. And that's kind of how my, I know it's a scary place to be, but it is my head.
I was just thinking, it sounds like one of those cartoons.
yeah, it's kind of a cartoon in my head a lot. So that's. And movies are good, but they're a little slower. They, you know, they'll do take after take after take, whereas TV, it's like you've got about two or three takes and then they're done. You know, we don't have time to mess around. So I like the challenge of getting it right quickly.
In the movie, there's this long period where they're doing the setup. It's just really boring.
Well, I knit, you know, and now I've got my Google tablet that I sit and I can read or play games, or, you know, I entertain myself well in the meantime. You know, you're learning your script or you're knitting, or, you know, I'm knitting. I'm doing something that keeps me busy because I probably had ADD way before anybody knew what ADD was.
Yeah. I understand. I used to do crossword puzzles when I did.
Right.
Or word
right.
searches.
Yeah.
Or read a novel. Because I really, you know, I already knew what I was going to do. So it wasn't that I needed to practice. It was more like just waiting for it to be set.
Right, right.
Where can when will the AFI film As the Wind Falls be on? Or how will people be able to see it?
I have a feeling it's going straight to festivals. I'm not sure at this point. They said they were screening in, it's a short, so which means it's about 20 minutes. And it's part of their graduation thesis to do this. And they said they were screening it, I was told, in January. I haven't gotten notice as to when it would screen. But it will, I'm sure, be available online also because they'll be sending it out on festivals. And then I'm in the middle of putting together a new reel, which means I'm going to put together a compilation of the more recent work I've done. The reel I have now up is on my website, which is debaldus.com, DeeBaldus.com. It's a little old now. I can add more things to it. Parks and Recreation, Pretty Little Liars, a couple things like that I can add to it. So I will have part of that in there too. I'm kind of waiting to finish once that comes out so that I can get some parts from that and add to it. But they can see pictures of me in it because I've got a whole album of, they had a great still photographer on the on set, which means somebody just taking the photos. And he was really funny. He had himself dressed up like a 30s private detective photographer, and he was just a riot. And he's really fun photos that he took. So those are all sites.
Do you have any new projects coming up?
Not right now, today. I had a couple of auditions last week, still waiting to hear. And, again, one of them is going to be literally, like I said, I'm either going to be tall enough or too tall. so,
right high enough.
You never know which way it's going to be. Yeah, which way it's going to be. You know, when you're 5'8", you got to kind of plan. I guess if I was 5'4", the same thing could be said. Because it depends on your co-stars and who you're working with, so. But not at the moment, just the AFI film coming out. And then, of course, we just are now introducing the CD for Josh and Friends this year. He was waiting until 2015. So it's just now coming out. And
cool.
We'll come out with the kit. Yeah, yeah.
That is really cool. We've come to the end. Went fast, didn't it?
Boy, it did. It's always so much fun talking to you.
Thank you. It was a lovely, lovely interview. Thank you so much. You were wonderful.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I hope to talk to you again soon, when letting you know the new TV series or whatever it is I've got coming on.
Fingers and toes are crossed.
I know, right? Fingers, nose,
yes.
And toes, as they like to say. So, well, have a lovely day, and thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for chatting with Sherry.
My pleasure.
Thank you.